Hey, thanks for joining us. You're listening to Living Fountains with Pastor Jim Stewart of Calvary Chapel, Kansas City. Today, our study is in the book of 1 Samuel. If you're in a place where you can grab your Bible and follow along with us, we invite you to do so. And if you'd like more information on Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, you can visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. Now, let's join Pastor Jim for today's study.
Well, tonight, gosh, what an exciting Bible study. Chapter 3 of 1 Samuel. Man, what a great portion of Scripture. I know I say that every time we open our Bibles, but I mean it every time. This is really exciting to me. What a great place to be in the Word tonight and to just kind of muse on this and think about it as we're traveling through 1 Samuel, traveling through the Old Testament. One of the things that we might remember is Samuel's kind of bridging that gap, last of the judges, first of the prophets, you know, leading into, you know, anointing a king. And he's just in this unique role, isn't he, you know, that's coming for him. And he's got this real destiny, this real purpose that God's called him to. And, you know, he's brought into being, you know, as his mom was praying and wanting a son and got her heart right and his being committed over to the Lord. And just what a wonderful storyline we're following so far and how exciting. Even though there's kind of craziness ensues around him, Eli and Eli's sons are kind of wacky and not really flying right and doing right and so on. But even still, Samuel's there just serving the Lord, doing what he's supposed to be doing, staying on track. So it's pretty exciting as we watch this storyline unfold. He is roughly anywhere at this point in time, somewhere 15, 17 years old. So it kind of gives us an age idea to think about, you know, how old he is at this as we hit chapter 3. Still a young, you know, still kind of considered a boy, you know, young guy, certainly not to be discounted, you know, or to be looked down upon because he's a young guy. God certainly wants to use those who are available to him, and certainly Samuel is available. But I wanted you to remember something. As we had finished Judges, before we had gotten into Ruth, at the conclusion of Judges, it says in verse 25, the last verse in Judges, "In those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes." Very important to know that that was the mindset of the people. It's backslidden. That's a backslidden mindset. We live in a time that's like that. Our world, our society can use all the Samuels that God wants to drop in our laps. We need all of that kind of ministry going on that could be going on. And so I think we've got some great things we can learn tonight about Samuel as a person that might help to open our eyes of understanding on how we might know the Lord more intimately. God is speaking. God is not silent today. God is speaking. And I think that's important for us to note. God is speaking today. He's not silent. A couple of things to note. One of the things is Psalm 19. We're going to look at a couple of psalms real quick before we get started in 1 Samuel. But Psalm 19, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. It's rising from one end of heaven, and its circuit to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from its heat." The law in verse 7, chapter 19, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, and my strength, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Psalm 19 starts off the first six verses there as God, through creation, is giving general revelation of his existence. General revelation. We want to know God's will. We want to know God's ways. We want to know, have understanding of who God is and how he's working. He gives us general revelation. But then he goes on in verse 7 through 14 and starts to tell us, yes, but we can know God more intimately. We can get specific direction from God as we, or specific revelation even to know God personally as we see his word and the law that he's given us and we see his ways are perfect. And so there's general knowledge and revelation of who God is. And there is also specific revelation, information given to us through his word. So it's kind of interesting to see how the information is dispensed. Not only is there this general, but there is a way to know him specifically. And we're going to get into that a little bit more tonight. Why don't you flip a few more pages over and go to chapter 29 of Psalm 29. Thinking of the voice of God and wanting to discern the voice of God. Because this is where it starts really coming together. Learning to discern the voice of God. How desperately we want to know God's leading and his ways, his will, his guidance, his direction. Is it unknowable? See, that this is the thing. We kind of think, well, I it's not something I could know. That's not true. God is speaking, and we're going to talk about that tonight. This is a wonderful portion here to look at. Give unto the Lord, O you mighty ones, in verse 1 of chapter 29, Psalm. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Verse 3, the voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. Now, I'll tell you something. I think I might have heard him on a flight earlier this week. I had to go to a radio conference, and pretty sure I heard from God. I felt bad for everybody else on the plane, but an incident always occurs. It's just the nature of my travels. But we're coming into Nashville on Monday, early Monday morning, and there were tornado warnings and stuff all around the airport area around there. And we were coming in, and it was just real turbulent. That was a bummer, but that's not to worry. Getting thrown around quite a bit, and then all of a sudden, super, super, super bright light flash. I mean, blinding bright light flashes. Then all of a sudden, the lights go out in the plane, and you know an immediate big explosion sound. And it's not a crack. It's not a pop. It was an explosion. You know, and so the plane got hit with lightning, and it was right on the right wing, right by the engine, right about that spot, and I thought, well, there you have it. You know, that is just in my mind, I'm thinking, well, you know, I'm going to start seeing smoke and flames, you know, it's going to be an interesting morning, you know, see how God works this situation out, and I've flown a lot, and I've never had that exact experience happen like that. Turbulence, yes. Radical turbulence, yes. Super severe drops, all kinds of things. But the actual lightning strike like that had pops and crackles and all kinds of things, but not that one. That was really something. Man, God was speaking. But I just sat there, and there was no smoke or people were screaming, and you know, all that stuff goes on. But I thought, you know, gosh, you know, God's not done yet, so we'll get where we're going. It's, you know, sorry you had to go through this, everybody, but, you know, this is the way it goes, you know, for me. Anyway, I'm thinking as I'm reading this, you know, the God of glory thunders, you know. I mean, you know, gosh, you think of God speaking, not necessarily just through that incident or through that kind of a thing, but just the voice of the Lord. God is there. God's ministering. God's doing things. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. You know, I've seen what happens. I've climbed up into attics and seen when a lightning strikes hit a house, and I've seen what happens to the timbers. I mean, it just splinters big timbers and just fragments them, and, you know, it just goes into it and then finds this outlet and just blows it to pieces. It's crazy. It's amazing to see. Breaks the cedars. Yes, the Lord splinters the cedars of Lebanon. He makes them also skip like a calf. Lebanon and Siron like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord divides the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare. And in his temple, everyone says, glory. The Lord sat enthroned at the flood, and the Lord sits as king forever. The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. You know, God speaks. God's moving. God's voice can be known. That's what's amazing in this tonight, what we're going to talk about. There are a lot of voices out there. I had someone talk to me a while back, and they were telling me about, they're more technically aware of things than I am, and they were describing to me white noise, you know? White noise. You know, I hear the terms like that and stuff, and I'm white noise. And so, you know, just ambient, a lot of just noise going on out there. And it's just kind of backdrop, unreally undiscernible, just noise. There's a lot of voices out there. And don't you wonder sometimes, was that God? Was that my conscience? Was it God working through my conscience? Was that, you know, what was that? And tonight, I think we can start to learn a couple of things. We'll go through a handful of ideas out of this, or maybe some principles that maybe we can extract to help us to determine whether we're really hearing from the Lord or not. Or are we even in a position, are we in a spot where we're receptive to the Lord? So if I were to think about it in this way, I would look at it more like our radio dial. And there's a lot of voices out there. There is stuff on airwaves flying all around us right now. That's a fact. Now, you and I can't hear those right now. And the reason we can't hear those is because we are not tuned in to that frequency. That's right. It's flying all around us. There's tons of things flying through the airwaves right now. But we can't hear it, even though it's there, because we're not tuned in to it. We want to be, as believers, tuned in to hear the voice of the Lord. So those are some of the things we want to talk about, some of the principles. First of all, we know he's speaking. God is speaking. He's declared who he is, that he exists, you know, in just creation itself. We see his voice is constantly speaking, you know, through all kinds of even natural events, as it was described by the psalmist. But we also know that he's revealed himself through his word, a more sure word of prophecy, Peter said, was entrusted to us in this written text that we have, the Bible. What a wonderful thing to know that God has revealed himself to us. And truly, they are love letters as he's revealed himself to us. A couple of things to think about in this, and we want to touch on these couple of things because I think it kind of sets the stage before we get too far into this. But Jesus spoke about this in John's account, and I think it's good to think on this part of this as we get started, where he talked in John 10. And if you can't get to some of these quick enough, just jot them down and go back and read through them later. But John 10, verse 22. It was the feast of dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, "How long do you keep us in doubt if you are the Christ? Tell us plainly." And Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Boy, what an important little portion of Scripture to remember, that Jesus speaks and we can hear him as his sheep. You remember when we went through the parables, how he talks in the parable, he says, it was given to you. Man, you guys are blessed as disciples, as followers. He says, you're blessed because it's been given to you to understand. God's given us the ability to understand. He gave us the keys then to the parables as we had gone through when he talked about the sower sows the word in Mark chapter 4, Matthew chapter 13. And we started to see that as that was disclosed to us. I like this one that we find in Luke 8:18. I like this one. And it's talking about the same concept as the parables have been revealed. And then he says, therefore, take heed how you hear. You ever thought about that? That we're to be taking heed to how we're hearing something. This is part of the keys to what voice am I tuning in to the right voice. Take heed how you hear. What's he talking about? He's talking about, are you listening via faith? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And we were born again by that word of faith that was spoken to us. We received it, Peter said, in the first two chapters of 1 Peter. He says, you received that implanted word. That is the seed, not of the corruptible, but of the incorruptible word of God. So we were born again by that incorruptible word of God that was spoken, and we received it by faith in our hearts, and we were born again. That's really the wild transaction that took place. We opened our hearts to the Lord, and he came in and began to live in our lives. And it happened through his word that was spoken, his word that we read, that word that we heard coming over the airwaves. Somehow, by God's grace, we tuned in. God, help us to tune in and to hear his voice. God is speaking. There's a lot of voices out there, aren't there? There are so many voices. One of the keys that I'll tell you, and we'll talk about this a little bit more as we go through it tonight, but one of the important things, man, Christians, we need to know this. We really need to know this. Just because someone said it doesn't make it the truth. Just because Wikipedia recorded it doesn't make it the fact, right? It's true. Just because certain things get entered in or shot out on the internet doesn't make it truth. It has to be pressed through the grid of this that we hold in our hands, the living word of the living God. If it does not match up against the word of God, I put it in question, and it sits in the question file. Wait, wait, wait. Because if it doesn't match up, I don't want to put my stock or my trust in that. I want to balance it up against the word and trust the living word and the living God. So important, because when we're listening to the voices out there that are going to come to us, you remember the old cartoon? The one shoulder was the little guy in the red suit with the pitchfork, and the other shoulder is more the cool guy, you know, that was trying to steer the guy the right direction, you know, and there's this debate, and one's got one ear, one's got the other ear. I feel like that sometimes. You know, part of me is, oh, yeah, that's right. And then the other part is, well, no, come on now. You got to think right about that. You know, this battleground that takes place. And it's what voice you're going to listen to. Who am I going to follow? Well, we got to balance those voices, those things that are vying for your attention and my attention up against the word of God and say, hey, in order for this to be truth, God's not going to speak something that's contrary to his heart, to his word. It's going to be consistent. Because that's what truth is. Truth can be known, and it is consistent. And that's awesome. That's exciting. That's a blessing. That helps me a lot, because I could get pretty scattered otherwise. And I love the fact that we can be anchored by his word, and that we can be on that sure word of prophecy that was entrusted to us. That idea out of Mark chapter 4, I just write these down for later reading, Mark 4, 21 through 25, and it really kind of concludes with this idea of the understanding of the parables was given to us. And as disciples, God's going to, all we have to do is ask Jesus, and Jesus will explain things to us. and we're on a need-to-know basis. So if you don't have all the information, you don't have to worry about that. Do you know that my hands are so full with the information that I do have and trying to walk in that? Brothers and sisters, we get so far out ahead of ourselves, we got to deal with A before we get out to XYZ out here. Man, my hands are full with trying to just walk in the Spirit and to love the way Jesus loved and to just realize the grace that he has shown me and how merciful he's been. Man, my hands are full walking in some of that. I can fill my head with a bunch of knowledge, but the reality is to just walk in that is a challenge each and every day, not to be gripped with such other things that vie for my attention. I think it's interesting in Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if what? Any man hear my voice." Is Jesus speaking today? I believe he is. You being here, me being here, is proof that Jesus is speaking today. Because at some point we heard his voice, didn't we? And we opened the door. And he came in to our hearts, made our hearts his home. And we fellowship with him and he with us. We break bread with the Lord. Man, we heard the voice of the Lord. Remember, he's speaking. And he said, "My sheep hear my voice." So really, what does it boil down to for us? For me, as a Christian, it boils down for me and for you, is that I just need to tune in. You ever have people look at you? I do, and say, they almost look at me with absolute, and actually, I've had it said to me many times, almost with pity. "You really think God talks to you, Jim? You really think God speaks to you?" I can say definitively, yes. But they say that almost with pity, don't they? "You poor sap. You think God actually talks to you." And I can honestly tell you, brothers and sisters, my eyes will well up sometimes. Not because I feel like they've made fun of me at all. I could care less. But because they don't know what I know. That my Lord and Savior bled on a cross for their sin and for my sin. And Jesus loves them with such a deep love and such deep compassion and wants to make himself known to them. My eyes will fill sometimes. I just think, man, you're feeling sorry for me. You have no idea. Don't pity me, man. You've grossly misunderstood what's going on here in this interchange that we're having, you know? Isn't it true? Hi, this is Pastor Jim. Thanks for listening today. I know as God's word goes out, it accomplishes the purposes for which he sent it. And I know that sometimes we hear a message like today's message and the Lord really starts to tug on our hearts. And if God's tugging on your heart and you've not been walking with the Lord and you want to get close with the Lord or you want to start a new life with Jesus, it's just a simple prayer away. You know, Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." You know, without the Lord, we're already perishing. We're perishing in our sin. We need a Savior. We need help. And, you know, I know you know that. I know you're hearing that. I know you're sensing that. And this is your opportunity to call out to the Lord and ask him to be your personal Lord and Savior. So I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a relationship, getting to know someone by introduction. And so this is an introduction. I want to introduce you to my friend Jesus, and he wants to make himself real to you. He loves you. He loves this world, and he loves you personally. He knows how many hairs you have on your head or how few you have. He knows what color they are. He knows the color of your eyes. He knows how tall you are. He knows everything about you. The Bible says that he loves you with a perfect love. And he wants you to believe on him and have everlasting life that you can spend all eternity with him. If you would, just pray this simple prayer of faith with me. "Jesus, I want to open up my heart to you. Lord, I want to have everlasting life. I want to ask that you would forgive me of all my sin. I humble myself before you, Lord. I know I need you. I know that I've fallen short and sinned in many ways, in many areas of my life. And so I ask that you would just come in and make my life new. I thank you for salvation. I thank you for everlasting life that now is mine in you. I ask that you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit, that I might walk with you and have life abundant. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you prayed and received the Lord into your heart today, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us or another Bible teaching church in your area so you may be encouraged in your new journey. If you'd like more information about Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, simply visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. If you're in the Kansas City area and you'd like to join us for worship, the service times and directions can be found at calvarychapelkc.com. It's been great spending time with you today in God's Word, and we look forward to you joining us next time on Living Fountains.
Come, Lord Jesus, come.